If you would, look at Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. And I want to read this to you. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Before we pray together, remember our students are at camp, at Crossings Camp. In fact, Chuck is playing guitar right now, has on a Crossings t-shirt. They're there for their week, but I want to remind you that we want to pray for them while they're there. But Crossings Camp has two locations. One is in Baghdad, Cedar Moore, Shelby County, and then the other one is at Jonathan Creek, land between the lakes, in two different camps. I just want you to know how much your church is involved in that those camps. A lot of our staff have been counselors at those camps. A lot of our church members have been counselors at those camps. We helped start it back in 1998. We were influential in that. Had 1,300 campers, I think, this summer. I think the number is 28,000 this summer. And the numbers came out of how many are called in the ministry, how many have surrendered to the Lord. Just a lot. It's just unbelievable, really. And I know our kids are there. We pray for them. Andrew, my son, your son in the ministry, just finished 2 weeks of being camp pastor at Jonathan Creek. He's actually on his way home even as I speak. It just becomes endless how much we are connected to those camps and how God has blessed. So with the situation that happened at Kerrville, Texas, and the flood that came there, like 11 inches of rain. I think the river rose 26 feet in 45 minutes. And there were a lot of camps on the bank of the Guadalupe River. And one of them was a Christian camp, a girls' camp called Camp Mystic. And I think it's two dozen or maybe even a little over two dozen of those girls are still missing. So I text Andrew and I said, get your camp to pray for that camp. Of what's going on down there. We want to certainly pray for rescue and recovery. It's just been incredible what's happened there. I know the number of loss of life, the numbers are increasing, and I haven't seen anything up to date today. But we want to pray for them as well. And then in our community, Thomas Hamilton passed away. I got a text real early that morning. He's my primary care doctor. A good friend, duck hunting wise, training duck dogs together, that kind of thing. And I got the text from Tim Baker, and my mind just wouldn't read it. I thought, well, he's talking about somebody else, and then we found that to be true. I know he's been a colleague. I know he may be your primary care physician. I know that he's a friend or a hunting buddy to several people in our church, but I just want you to be praying for that family as well. And then we have others. Miss Jamie, her father recently passed away. We've got Marlene Rose in the hospital. Pam Black is going through cancer treatments and overcoming surgery there. And I'm hesitant to talk about people because I'll forget them, and I don't mean to leave anybody out. But you know who you need to pray for, and we're going to give you opportunity to be able to do that. Let's bow before the Father. Let's begin as we always do. And tell the Father that we love him from our heart to his heart. May he hear from us, his children, his sons and his daughters. And then let your prayer move to being grateful and thankful. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of what you need to be thankful for today. Even in this very prayer, this very moment, give thanks. Let's pray for our students at camp. His presence is calling on their life and then those who are there for the entire camp. And let's pray for Kerrville, Texas. And it's just more than those girls at that camp that they're trying to rescue or recover. Pray for those families. Pray for those responders. Pray for the relief effort. Pray for that. It's just devastation. Lift them up. The Lord is near. And then we pray for the family of Dr. Hamilton. Touched our community he painted it with a wide brush. It'd be greatly missed. And we're grateful for him, but pray for his family and any of the others that you know that overlap into your life that need care physically. There's disease or sickness. There's financial direction. There's spiritual direction. There's carrying the emotional wounded load that they may be under. In need of Christian friends, lift them up to our Heavenly Father. And pray a blessing over your offering today, ever how you gave. It goes to, your offerings go to help places like Crossings to begin and even to be sustained. We use your offerings to advance the kingdom of God, not only here, but also internationally. But there's a greater offering you brought today, and that's you. And present yourself to him. God works in you to work through you. So look at that. Present yourself as that offering today, that living sacrifice. Pray for the people around you, a blessing over them, if you will. And if your family's not here, wherever your family may be, pray a blessing over them. I really love that part of our prayer. I believe in the blessing. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Lord, if you prompt me with any word of knowledge, if you prompt me through your Holy Spirit, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this place can put on me. And I know that. You're tougher on me than anybody here. I get it. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Wanted to change it up a little bit, get in the altar. You all are sitting in the spit zone. So that's what I call it, on the front row. And we're thankful that you're here with us. I know it's a time of travel. We really had good crowds today, really, with everybody traveling over the 4th of July. The rest of the summer, up till Labor Day, we're going to be in Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 100 for a little bit, and then some other Psalms as well. They focus on praise, the Psalms we're going to be looking at. Just to remind you, we need to give him the praise that he is so worthy of and he deserves, and even challenge you all when it comes to that. After Labor Day, we're going to be in the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel. I'm really focusing on the spirit of excellence that he had and how he used that for the Lord, and even how Daniel in his day was able to influence his culture and how God used him to do that, and God can use you to do exactly the same thing. So start reading Daniel, if you will. Don't skip the Psalms either. Read Psalm 100. We'll be in that for a few Sundays, and then another Psalm later, and I'll let you know when we switch. But really be prepping yourself for the book of Daniel this fall. In Psalm 100, it becomes a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. Usually listed as a psalm of thanksgiving, but it is also praise. And I want to remind you that when we read out of Philippians 4, one sermon not too long ago, that we brought out that, you know, when you have anxiety, don't worry about one thing, it says, but in everything pray. That we're learning even clinically that anxiety and thankfulness can't occupy the same spot. So if you become thankful, you're lessening your anxiety, because your thankfulness creates a dependence, and that dependence is on your faith and trust in the Lord, of where we can hold that dependence, and we can count on him for who he is and what he does. So that, and I want to remind you that Psalms are usually hymns or songs themselves that were sung. And that's going to weigh in heavily to the sermon today as well. But when we are giving thanks, which really is the subtitle of Psalm 100, But there's also praise involved in here. But when we're giving and being thankful people, then anxiety is not overriding us, that it lessens us. So it begins by saying, shout to the Lord, shout triumphantly. I remember when Hillsongs came out a long time ago, about the time Hope Church was starting, the great worship song was Shout to the Lord, you know, that they had out, that everybody was doing, and rightfully so. But it says not only, your version may say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. A lot of content here is on public worship, not just private, but it's going into public worship, that in public worship, we need to announce our praise. And it says shout triumphantly, which means victoriously. And remember what we've learned, we're not shouting victoriously so that we can have victory. We're shouting victoriously because we already are victorious. So we don't work for victory or to victory, we work from victory. So in other words, we don't get in a shouting match of praise to the Lord that I'm going to be more victorious because my shout's louder than your shout, you know, and that would be a man one-upness kind of thing there. You know, my truck's bigger than your truck, you know, my truck tires are bigger than your truck tires. And it would be that the louder I shout, the more victorious I become. Oh no, it is the picture that I shout from victory. I don't shout for victory or to victory. I want you to look at Psalm 150 for a moment. And it talks about praising the Lord. It talks about we praise the Lord with our instruments and then even our voice. It says, hallelujah, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his powerful acts, praise him for his abundant greatness. I knew Vanessa was going to love this sermon. Praise him with trumpet blasts, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with the tambourine and dance, praise him with flute and strings, praise him with resounding cymbals, praise him with clashing cymbals. Can I be confessional here? When I'm putting this sermon together, I'm going to the Andy Griffith episode where Barney played the cymbals in the band. Do you all remember that? That's where I went. I'm sorry, it wasn't theological at all. I got into this verse and I just started laughing because he just walks around town just, you know, just getting those cymbals into people's ears. So I don't know that he was praising the Lord. He was probably annoying people, but nonetheless, that's where my mind went on verse 5. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Give him his praise. The challenge is that we are probably not doing that. That becomes the challenge. I'm not saying you're not praising. I'm just saying maybe we're not praising as much as we should. And that becomes the challenge today. I want to give you three things, two from the New Testament, one from the Old Testament, about how shouting is in the context of God himself, even in his character. Some of us may not think that. I was raised where church was very reverent. I remember growing up, the Lord's Supper was so quiet, you could hear people crunching that bread. You know, it just had to be quiet. And now, I mean, we don't practice it that way here at Hope Church, but you know, you come with a reverence in, back in the day, I think we've become so reverent. This is pretty old school right here. And that is, we were referred to as God's frozen instead of God's chosen. We became so reverent. But I want you to know, as you study his word, and you get into the character of our Lord, that there is a context in our worship where it does talk about shouting. Look at Joshua and Jericho for a moment. Joshua, being a strategist, was told by God that this is the way we take Jericho. And being the strategist that he is, I'm thinking Joshua's going, you got to be kidding me. And the instruction was that for 6 days, one time a day, the high priest and others were to walk around the city one time, and they were to have the ark with them, the Ark of the Covenant, not Noah's Ark, but the Ark of the Covenant. Noah's Ark would be pretty hard to carry. And the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to march around it, and then they would blow the trumpets. And the instruction from Joshua in those 6 days was no shouting. No, don't shout. This is the instruction of God. 6 days, once a day, we're going to walk around the ark and then we're going to blow the trumpets. On the seventh day, whole nother story. Walk around it seven times. And on the seventh time, not only are you blowing trumpets, not only do you have the ark, but shout. Shout to the Lord. And then we know the song, right? The walls come a tumbling down. In fact, I've been there twice. Some say that it so crumbled the walls of Jericho that in an archaeological find, they can't find where the walls were. And they should have, because it was such a fortified city. But the tearing down of the walls, they didn't shout around Jericho so they could have victory. They shouted around Jericho because God had already promised them from victory. Not that the shout was going to bring them victory, but from victory. I just want you to know that shouting is not out of context to the people of God. It can be a part of praising. And sometimes it's included in this. You're probably going, where am I going with this? You'll see in a minute. In Luke 19, 37 through 40, we have the triumphal entry of Jesus. Now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully. You see where it says there, with a loud voice, for all the miracles they had seen. And remember, one of the miracles in that parade was Lazarus. They'd heard Lazarus just been raised from the dead. They wanted to see that. So they were there to see Jesus, but they were also there to see Lazarus. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." Now, there are people who get in debate here that this is hyperbole, exaggeration, that there's exaggeration here. Like, if you don't give me praise, then the rocks are going to do that. I don't believe it's hyperbole, because Scripture says to us that the whole earth, the created world, is crying out to the Lord. It has groanings for the Lord to come back. It's looking for the glory of God that Ezekiel got to see when he was on that tour with that angel. And he saw the earth absorbing the glory of God once again. Even though we think it's beautiful, you hadn't seen beauty till it absorbs the glory of God again. And he said he fell on his face. It was so incredible of what he saw. But he says if they're silent, stones cry out. I don't believe that as hyperbole or exaggeration. I believe it, because the point is, if those of you who are created in my image won't give me praise, then that which I created that's not in my image will do it. It will bring me praise, because he's worthy. He's worthy of the praise that we give him. So I want you to be able to see that they had something to be thankful for. As you look, they are shouting to him because of all the marvelous works they had seen him do. One of the third examples is in Mark 10, verse 46 through 52, and it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. In blind Bartimaeus, I'll just read you the story. They came to Jericho, and as he the Lord, was leaving Jericho with the disciples, remember, he had a large crowd. Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. Now, you got to know that this is probably a thoroughfare that people use back and forth. It's pretty regular. And a beggar is going to position himself where people are. But he's probably noticing from hearing that this is a larger crowd than normal. Something must be up. And the anticipation, probably hearing that Jesus is on his way. So when he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more. See that? We went up a notch. And he said, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's calling for you." He threw off his coat, jumped up, came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Rabboni, or Rabbi, says, the blind man told me, "I want to see." And Jesus says, go your way. Jesus told him, your faith has healed you immediately. He could see and began to follow him on the road. I just want you to know that the crowd, a lot of the majority of that crowd, told him to hush, to be quiet. But if you'll notice what he did, he got louder. So what's the point in this? The point in this is we live in a world that's going to try to silence our testimony and our praise. We live in a world that's going to try to hush us up. And we're going to think that that's what they should do. I just want to remind you, as the world tells us to be quiet, do you know what you and I have to do? We have to take it up a notch. Okay? I want you to notice when he didn't follow the crowd is when Jesus stopped. That's when he stopped. And then he did what he did in bringing healing to him. Guys, if we're not careful, you and I will go along with the patterns of the world. And the Lord doesn't look at people who go along with the patterns of the world. God looks at the people who go along with the patterns of the kingdom. We live a kingdom life. We don't live a world life. My citizenship is not of this place. I have a postal address. I vote, all that stuff. But this is not my home, okay? I'm looking for a city that humans haven't built. It's not made by human hands. I'm in this world, I'm just not of this world. So we have to act like it. If we're not careful, you and I will get right into the rhythm of the world. And just remember, there's a lot of reasons why you probably won't like me, but just remember, I loved you enough to tell you, live the kingdom life, don't live the world life. We'll move right on along, just like programmed robots, afraid of IE or AI, I'm afraid of what's happening there. But in the picture of all that, we'll just program ourselves right into the patterns of the world. I want you to notice, Bartimaeus did not do that. He went against the rhythm and the pattern of the world, and God gave him notice on what's going on with his life. So when the world is telling us to hush, then you and I have to take it up a notch. We get louder. Psalm 100 verse 2, the second part of what we're focusing on today, says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Service and worship go together. They're hand in hand. If we're not careful, we will think that coming to worship is our service. But because of the worship, we are involved in service. There are people who ask me, and it becomes a point of conversation, can you be a Christian and not be connected to the church? And you may be thinking of a campus and brick and mortar. Well, Christians are the church. And buildings aren't the church. Christians are the church, but you know that. But my point in that is there's the gathering. The gathering was so important. I mean, there's been a lot as a pastor that I've had to handle this last week. But last Sunday, nobody that I had to handle this week knew what was coming last Sunday. They didn't know their week was going to be the way it was. And you know what? We can stand here on today and we can look at our week and we can calendar it. And I do the same thing. I do my Monday through Saturday list. But who knows? Who knows? And one thing that people go, can I be a Christian? I go to church. I'm going, well, we need the gathering. We need the gathering. We need to build confidence with each other here that we're in this together. There's support here, there's community here. Then not only that, but I want, when we gather together here in this place, and there are other churches and other great churches, but when we gather together in this place, there's three things going on, and there's probably more, but I'll just give you three. One is, as we gather here today, I want the world that can see me and you to know who I worship. I don't want that to be hidden. I want them to know who I am devoted to, who I am surrendered to, and where I give my praise to the person I give my praise, and that's my Lord. I want them to know that. Number two, I come here in the gathering because I want the world that you and I can't see to know who I worship. I want every demon that can hear my voice to know who I worship. in who I have surrendered my life to, in who I put my faith and trust. Some may trust in horses, and some may trust in chariots, but I will trust on the name of my Lord. I want the world that can see me to know who I worship. I want the world that I can't see to know who I worship. I want them to know that. And then the gathering, it becomes a network of all of us going, listen, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't even know what this afternoon is going to bring. But he asked us to set aside a day for him. And we come together and we give praise and worship to him for even the energy, the empowerment of what we may be going through this week that none of us have any concept of at all. None. That my faith and trust is placed, it's placed entirely in him. So we gather for worship today, and out of this worship comes service. It becomes service to other people. This worship gathering is not our service. Our service comes out of that. He works in us to work through us, and it becomes a beautiful picture. Hand in hand together. I wrote in my notes, peanut butter and jelly. I prefer creamy over crunchy, and I love strawberry instead of grape, and I've even gone to four fruit. Have you tried four fruit with your peanut butter sandwich? It's pretty incredible. I just wanted you to know. But it goes together. Service and worship, they go together. And look, we do it with thanksgiving and gladness. It's not a ball and a chain. It's not, wow, this has been thrown up. We serve the Lord and we worship him hand in hand, and we do it with thanksgiving. We do it because of all that he has done for us. Second part, it says there's a song in your heart. Come before him with joyful songs. I want you to look how scripture brings this out, especially the Psalms. Look at Psalm 96, verses 1-3 for just a moment. Sing a new song to the Lord. Now listen, I grew up with the hymns. I grew up with the Heavenly Highways hymnal, which most of you all have never heard of. I can hear some of these old songs, and I can hear the harmony. It doesn't mean I can sing the harmony, but I can hear it. I remember the old quartets that would come, the Southern Gospel quartets. I love the old stuff, but I want to tell you, I love the new stuff too. I want you to know that. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to Yahweh our Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonderful works among all the peoples. Sing to the Lord. We look at Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God while I live. Psalm 68, 4. It says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yahweh, the Lord, and rejoice before him. Some of you may have remembered the praise and worship song that the church adopted kind of when we were having the worship wars between, you know, the traditional hymns and new stuff. But if you remember the song, I sing praises to his name, oh Lord, you know, you remember that? Praises to his name. That song comes from this verse that we sing unto the Lord. I want to give you a reminder about the character of God for a moment. I want to give you a reminder that he sings over you. Okay? Some of us aren't there. I don't know that any of us are in Zephaniah right now, but you're going to be in this moment. Zephaniah 3:17. Yahweh your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will bring you quietness with his love. He will delight in you with shouts, meaning loud singing, shouts of joy over you. That in the character and the context of God, he sings loudly over you. Some of us don't have that picture of him. I mean, I'm going to give you a couple things that you already know, but we don't have that picture in our mind either. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. That Jesus now, in ascended fashion, resurrected and ascended, intercedes for us on behalf of the Father. Sometimes we don't have those pictures that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are praying and interceding on our behalf. We don't have always pictures that our God is singing over us. He sings over us in an incredible fashion, and he shouts it out. It's shouts of joy that he brings over us. And this is why he does it and why they receive it. Look at Zephaniah 3:15. This is why it happens. It says, the Lord has removed your punishment. You need to rejoice over that. He has turned back your enemy. The King of Israel, God, is among you. You need no longer fear harm of who he is. You rejoice over that. So just get the picture in the context that shouting is a way of continuing our praise and giving praise. And not only that, it's a response of followers, as we saw with Joshua and Jericho, as we saw with the crowd and the triumphal entry, as we saw blind Bartimaeus. But then you're going, well, what are you trying to get at? I'm going to tell you. I'm not trying to get you to be obnoxious and rude in your worship. I'm not trying to get you to be more reflective in your worship. If you think that's what I'm trying to do, I'm not. But I am trying to get you to praise. I am trying to get you to worship and to give him praise. God knows that we give praise to others when it is due to our God. We can do that with elected officials if we're not careful. All the praise goes to God. All the glory goes to God. And we've got to watch that we don't give praise to other people that really does go to him. You remember in our recent series when we were talking about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the fact of the pride of life. And I told you there is a love that we have given the world that's meant to be given to the Father. And there is a praise that goes on that we give to man when it should go to our God. That's where I'm trying to get you to understand where we need to be. That it's not about you being crazy loud or being silly. But I do want you to move past it being a thought and a whisper. It just being a thought or a whisper. I do want you moving past that. Dr. Marvin Tate, my Old Testament professor at Southern Seminary, he passed away in 2012. And his personality was really dry. I mean, he could put you to sleep. He was pretty boring. Very intelligent. But I remember just in my classes, I'd just nod off, you know. I'd just nod off. And in the picture of all that, he was incredible in his knowledge of the Old Testament. He wrote a commentary on Psalm 100. He was very witty too, by the way. He wrote a commentary on Psalm 100, and here's how he summarized Psalm 100. He said, turn it up. Just turn it up. Just sing. And just even in our context right now, we're gonna sing a song that was the third song of the set. I just had them repeat it. It features Tracy. And it's Thank You for the Blood Applied. It talks about crossing over from darkness to glorious light and all that he has done for us. We're gonna sing that again. And I'm just gonna ask you to turn it up. I'm not gonna do raise the roof and, you know, you be silly and pump up the volume, you know. I mean, it's not gonna be crazy. But let's just move it past the thought and the whisper, okay? The psalmist does. Joshua and the people of Israel did. The people at triumphal entry did. Bartimaeus did it. I just want to remind you that the Lord does it, and he does it over you. He's not ashamed to tell the world that you and I can't see that I sing over them because they're mine. Nor should we be ashamed to sing and say, I do this because you're mine. And in the words of Dr. Tate, let's just turn it up. My dad, as a preacher, and I would get embarrassed by this really, would break out into singing somebody would say, could your dad sing? And I said, he thought he could. You know, and my dad would sing. And my dad would be preaching and break out in a song, and the pianist would come up and just find out where he is in the song and join him, you know, very unplanned stuff. And somebody asked my dad one day, they said, can you read music? And my dad said, no. And he that, and they go, do you ever know what key you're in? And my dad said, no. And they say, well, how do you sing? And my dad says, I sing by letter. And the person said, by letter? My dad says, I just open it up and let her fly. I said, that's what he said. So, and I'm going to speak more probably to my tribe, my guys. We're kind of reserved and all that, even though we sing in a truck by ourselves, you know. Let's just give it more than a thought. And let's just give it more than a whisper. And sometimes our songs become our prayers. And our songs become our testimonies. In that we come before Him with joyful songs. So you already know this one. Tracy's already led us in it once, and she does it beautifully, and she's going to do it again. And it's a song that just says thanks. So in our singing today, let's turn it up. More than a thought, more than a whisper, and give Him the praise that is due. And then through song, let's just tell Him thanks. Thanks for all that He has done for us. We got it? And it is an invitation. If you're here, we're going to ask our counselors to come. Go ahead, church, if you want to stand. Counselors, find your place. You want to be prayed for, with, or prayed over, you come. Our people will be here to attend you and to minister with you and to pray with you. But the team's going to lead us, and let her fly, okay? Let's give Him the praise that He is due. God bless you. Thank you.